What's going on, you guys? My name is Stephanie Walsh. You're listening to Side B Radio, the podcast. And I have a really cool interview to share with you guys this week that I'm so excited about. It was supposed to be done several months ago. And, you know, life happened and got in the way. And then the pandemic and everything else. And I've been unsure of whether or not to reach out to people to do, like, Zoom interviews or, like, Skype or whatever, like over the computer, but we're not getting out of this anytime soon, and I still need to bring y'all some content. So I figured this in-person interview that I was going to do, I just reached out and said, like, hey man, do you have time to talk to me on the computer? And he did. So this week it is my great pleasure to share with you an interview that I did with one of my favorite Broadway people. His name is Jeremy Stoll, if you don't know already by the title of this episode. He's been part of Phantom of the Opera for over 12 years, and I've seen him play the Phantom. I'm not going to get into my whole story about him because we actually, you know, talked about it, but he's amazing. He's super talented. He's really nice. Just, it was a really fun conversation, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. So, I feel like now that I'm hyping it up, I should just get right into the interview. So I'll talk to you guys a little bit afterward. Enjoy.
How has quarantine been treating you?
This pandemic it's been challenging. All my skills and all my business, except for, I do some graphic design, but so who doesn't? And, so everything I do was gone in a matter of 6 hours. I lost a year and a half's worth of concerts. I lost my job on Broadway, and I lost all of my, during the spring semester, a lot of the high schools and colleges come and we do talkbacks, and yeah. I basically can make a good amount of money doing that because I do so many of them. Mm-hmm. Enough to put my kids through camps in the summer, and all of it gone in one day. Just
wow.
And so it's been a challenge.
Well, I've seen that you've been making like videos for like YouTube and stuff like that. Are you doing any virtual talkbacks or anything? Have you?
The captivity covers. Yes, I've done a few little talks for mostly for these kids who have graduation this year and have that's been thwarted, and they're just so sad. Like, especially these theater kids who have graduated college, they've gone through the whole mess, you know, they've done all the stress, they lost their hair, it grew back, the whole nine yards, what it takes to do this, and then at the end they don't even get their two things. They don't get to walk the line, and a lot of senior showcases were thwarted, which is you go to school for the showcase and it's gone. So we've been doing little talks with them. I did a little live thing with a thing called Seniorly, which is entertainment for seniors who are captive because they can't have any outside visitors. And just a few little things like that. Enough to keep me quite busy. Plus, I have two kids, so that's
right. How are they dealing? Are they okay, or is this like?
They're okay. We got bikes, and we've been going all over. We've done the entire length of Manhattan several times.
Wow.
My son's an introvert by nature, so he's kind of living his best life right now. And he gets to pick and choose when he's social, and it's not given to him. So he's very comfortable. My daughter wants to be in the world, and she's kind of kicking the walls down, but they're managing. We're having a good time together.
That's fun. I know a lot of people are like struggling with trying to deal with kids and work and 24/7 and all that.
Yeah. It's an interesting little time, but on my side, I guess, because I don't get to be with them all the time. My schedule is so weird. They're in school all day and then I go to the show. There's this little window that I get them, and now I'm with them the whole day. I do school with them, and then we cook dinners together. I just had a birthday. My daughter made me, she's 8 years old. She made me a cake.
That's awesome.
she went in and get all and just did it. And I'm so happy because we've been doing that for fun, just making cakes for giggles.
Yeah, I saw it was your birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
My birthday was March 29th, so I had a Zoom call. That was my birthday. Birthday
back then, yeah. In the thick of it, right? As everybody mm-hmm. sort of like really hunkered down.
Yeah. I mean, even now, like I've seen my father a couple times. Like he drives out from Long Island and like brings me to the grocery store so I can do like a big shop every couple weeks. But other than that, I'm not seeing anybody, not doing anything.
Oh man, where are you in Manhattan? Or are you in?
I'm in Astoria.
Oh, nice.
So I'm actually right by the park. So I have been like, I bring my dog to the park once in a while. So can we talk a little bit about Phantom of the Opera? I love it. I've seen you in it. I don't even know how many times. How long have you been with the company now?
I've been there 12 years. 12 awesome years.
What has made you stay with that show as opposed to moving around?
I always joke and I say Thursday. the truth is that stability in a show is unheard of, and with two kids and my desire to not be a gypsy is it's a great fit for me, I think. And I've not stayed the entire time. I've had breaks. I left to go do Disney's Hunchback. I leave several times a year to do concerts all over, and I used to do them in China. I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's been nice. They've been really kind about letting me go because I'm not a face character. That's a Disney term.
Yeah. But
I'm not, I'm a backup, and I can be replaced pretty easily. Especially with Bronson out there in the world, he's coming in on a whim, no problem. I love that guy.
I actually saw him do Love Never Dies up in Boston area. Yeah. No, I guess we went to Connecticut. I was going to go to Boston, and we ended up going to Connecticut because I asked my dad to go with me. My father is the reason that I like Phantom. He got me into it. It was my second show. My first show was Cats, and I did not care. And then we saw Phantom the next year. And
you're like, what is this magic?
Yes, and it stayed with me. Like, me and my best friend got like matching Phantom tattoos on my birthday a couple years ago.
I love that.
So, I'll have to show it to you next time I see it. It's on my leg. Like, hers is behind her ear, but mine is bigger and on my leg.
Is it the logo or is it a?
It's the mask, but it's not the logo mask. It was we had the tattoo artist draw it from a picture of a mask.
Okay, cool.
So she sketched it out, and then like my vision for it was different from hers. Like I thought it would have like a fully blacked out eye, and she was like, but that's not what the mask looks like, and your skin is behind it. So she just kind of shaded it. It's really cool. Okay. Like I'm way more impressed with it than I thought I would be. But so we've seen it all the time, and then when I saw that the tour was happening, I asked him to go see the sequel with me, and he was like, I'm not driving to Boston, but it's in Connecticut in a few months. We'll go to that one. And that's what we did.
Cool.
I like it. I mean, what do you have thoughts about Love Never Dies?
Honestly, I've never seen it. I wanted to go. Our group went to go see Bronson do it, and I wasn't available because I had kids. And I wanted to, and I never got around to seeing it. And it's embarrassing because a lot of that cast is now in our cast.
Yeah.
Like, you know that time in the show? I'm like, no, I don't.
Well, I know there's like a recording of it. Like there's a DVD from like Australia or something.
Yes. Yeah. That's an old version. Right.
And I've listened to it more obviously than I've seen it. Cause I'm not big on bootlegs. That's been a thing. We should talk about that. Cause a lot of Broadway stars have been like tweeting and posting about their anger towards bootlegs. What do you like? What's your take on recording shows, I guess?
I'm mixed. I mean, obviously a recorded show, it lacks the magic that happens on stage. It cannot be translated. However, it's the only possibility for any of us secretly to have any documentation of what we did.
Right.
I spent my entire life to stand on that stage, and I will not have a single thing to show for it unless these fans have pirated a copy.
I think there are some copies of you floating around out there, by the way.
I may or may not have been shown a few.
See, and that's something else too, because I've artists or Broadway stars that I know or I'm friendly with, like I knew a guy who was a standby on Book of Mormon, and I was like, God, I would love to hear you do that. I haven't seen it yet. I actually did get to see him, but in the meantime, he was like, if you know anyone that does this, like, let me know, because like I want to hear my recordings too. And I was like, I don't think that that's something we're supposed to broadcast, but I'll keep it in mind.
Right. It's the thing is, there's groups of people who trade, and especially on Tumblr. If you go in the deep dark corners of Tumblr, they're just handing over different versions of it, and they're starting to profit from it. It's a little, that's the part that's shade.
Yeah, I think it's really uncool if they like try to sell it too. Like, that's just. Yeah.
I've not noticed a lot of people using it for our detriment. Like, if they're there, there's a few performances I know that have been captured that I was not stellar in. I don't see it all over the place. Like, Jeremy still sucks. Look at this. You know, they've been kind with it, I guess.
Yeah.
My feelings are. I'm very happy that people love the show enough to want to take it home and celebrate it in that way. And I wish there was a way to embrace it and just let it be that way. Because rock concerts are that way. You get whatever star up there on stage tells you to take out your phone and let's do
right.
this. And they just like, Disney's like, I feel like Disney's on the verge of doing the same thing. They're already doing it with their songs. Like, Phantom likes to keep a tight lock on what we can sing, when and where. Disney's like, here's the track. Please put on YouTube, tag us in it. And like, they just love it. They want everybody to keep celebrating the music because it's an absolute free version of marketing.
Oh yeah, totally. And that's part of what like I don't get by people being angry or like gatekeeping like with bootlegs. Like, yes, recording it is illegal. It's intellectual property. Right. It's not stopping someone from coming to see the show ever.
Yeah. Well, I've had lots of discussions with Phantom about this, and their thoughts are they spend a lot of money and a lot of time making the show absolutely perfect. And they do. We are directed within an inch of our lives because they want it to be perfect. They want you to come in 32 years later and experience something that was magical in 1988. And they spend so much time and energy protecting that and keeping that high level of quality. And if you get people with these videotapes, these recordings,
<Not anymore. laughs>
these recordings of it, and just they can put up anything and they have no control over what that looks like, how that sounds, how that is represented of what they produce for the fans. And they really want the quality of it to be amazing. And so they keep a tight lock on it because, you know, once you sing Music of the Night on some sort of show and you blow it, that's going to be out there forever unless they can capture it. There's been recordings they've gone after and had to find a way to get taken down because they want to keep that perfect look, which I don't mind. I want to be unreachable. It's like people go, how do they do that all the time? Well, let me tell you.
It's magic.
Yeah.
So how you've played like every male track in the show, right?
I've not. That would be Greg Mills and Scott Makeda. They do everything possible. Yeah, I've done The Auctioneer, Phantom, Raul, Pianji, and Passerino. Now I've kind of kept to that. There was one point where I was going to be a they were toying with the idea of going in to be one of the fops, which are the white faced opera guys.
Gotcha. And,
they put Carrington in it instead. And I was so grateful. Putting on the white makeup 8 times a week was be like, oh, come on.
Yeah. That's, you don't think about that, but that's.
Yeah. Right. My lazy. You gotta do. Like, I don't know.
And, have you ever wanted to do like Andre or Furman?
I do. Andre would be so fun, I think. But there are 55,000 Andres in the cast. They're covered. they're good. but you know, who knows? There have been some great Andres out there. I might be a little too large to be Andre. I feel like he needs to be a little dainty. So not dainty, but just there's always that
where
a pair. Like, one the Andre needs to be gentle.
Smaller. Yeah.
And the Fairman needs to be a large presence and kind of dark and dismal. And that, you know, if I'm dwarfing the Andre, it could.
Makes sense.
Who knows what it would look like?
Do you have a favorite? Like, is it just the Phantom, or like, do you like doing Raoul better? Do you?
Yeah.
Like-
oh no, Raoul. Yeah, we have to say Raoul, by the way. There's something for you. It's Raoul. It's not Raoul. It's Raoul. Repeat after me. Yeah. I love Phantom. I mean, that's the title character, right? That's the most iconic role ever, and not everybody can sing it, which is fun because.
Well, you can. I haven't seen you as Raoul though. Like that, every time you posted that you were doing it, it was always like I had just left Manhattan, or and I was always like, no, because my friend, she'll always tag me like on your post. She'll be like, turn around. Like, I can't. I'll be late. I'm not gonna walk in late.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, Raoul is. There are better choices than me, I think, than that for that role.
I'd still be interested to see how you do it.
I think it really well. But like John, our current Raoul, is just absolute perfection. Jay was great. There's so many good guys. They're just.
I mean, Rodney was one of my favorites.
Rodney's amazing. Exactly. Yes. You get it.
I actually, you know what, because I haven't gone, I think you're the only one I've seen as Phantom in the last, like, several times I've gone. I haven't seen Ben Crawford as Phantom yet.
Are you serious? He's
awesome.
Seriously.
Yeah. Because when I go, you're the one on, so I'm like, which is fine with me, like, I'm like, oh, I'll go get a ticket, Jeremy's on tonight, but I realized the other day, like, I haven't actually seen Ben do it.
He's a big old burly baritone. He and I are actually the most similar I've been to a Phantom in since I've been there. He's got, that dude has got a big old baritone voice and he rocks the place, man. It's cool.
How long have you been doing like the understudy or whatever as Phantom? Like the whole time you've been there, or was that something?
Day one. I was hired as for that reason.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So I saw an interview that you did like back in 2010. Where you were quoted as saying that you really hope to get a lead role one day. Do you still feel that way, or are you like?
Did I say that? That's so funny. Yeah, I don't.
Feel I did like my that. Research, Jeremy. Like,
wow, who is that guy from 100 years ago? No, I don't feel that way anymore. I don't. That's a different. My job has become preserving a good show that. That's a hard one to answer. So I don't hope to be a lead. No, I hope to continue to do what I do. If that means one day I'm put into that position, great. But I like the fact that I can stay in the show for a while. I've every lead that has been there for the last 12 years, I've had a hand in training, and I welcome them at the door and I say goodbye to them when they leave. And the idea of leaving petrifies me. Yeah. It's scary.
But you like to be able to like go do your concerts and stuff. Like you have that whole concert series that you do.
I do.
And you'll continue to work on that like when the time comes or.
Yeah. If that particular venue comes back, it's there. I do a lot of places in Florida and I'm wondering, I know the rules are loose in Florida and they don't, they have a different ideology, but the the fact is that social distancing is going to really have an impact on live concerts, and I'm wondering what that's going to look like.
Yeah. I've actually seen, like, when you would be posting about your Florida shows, you played in Boynton Beach a lot. That's where my mother lived. So I was like, what's that about? Where in Boynton?
A lot of places in Boynton, actually. All along that coast, there's communities, 55 and older communities. Mm. And they live in 10,000 houses in a community.
Yeah.
And they have a community center, which has then an 1,000-seat theater.
Nice.
With all the amenities, and they just hire acts to come in all year long.
Mostly really cool.
But it's cool, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's great restaurants down by the beach over there and stuff. Like,
it's awesome.
I miss Boynton. Like, once I finished everything, like with her estate, and like, you know, there's no reason for me to be down there anymore. But I'm like, when this started, I was like, man, if I still had that house in Boynton, that's where I would be right now with my pool and my big backyard.
But if you want to get away, the Airbnbs down there. I love getting away.
I want to know what your thoughts are on Hunchback, because I know that, like, that didn't transfer. I don't think there's plans for it to transfer. That's one of my favorite Disney films, so I was so excited when it was a stage show.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I remember it's a vivid memory. I just remember when that came out and I was like, what is this magic? How is this vocal track? What is happening right now? This is awesome. And, God, it was cool. Just right down to the beginning number, right? When Clopin sings that big old note at the end.
He's one of my favorite characters ever. Yeah.
By the way, you want to know a little insight? That's Alan Menken.
Really?
They decided to make that note pop out at Bells of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Huge. That they decided after they had recorded. And so he just sat in the recording studio and went, play.
That's so awesome.
That's I get to know all kinds of fun things like that during the production. It was my thoughts on Hunchback are it is just a fantastically beautiful show, and we put our heart and soul into it, and we loved every second of it, and it just didn't work for Disney in so many ways. They won't tell us specifically, we have only our assumptions, but I know that they weren't excited about the princess dying,
right?
Number two, they were very gung-ho about Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Time it was
obviously
all hands on deck. Frozen 2017, they just went to town. And number three, they made it so fantastically big and awesome, it was hard to pay for. We had a 24 person choir on stage that was part of the orchestra,
yeah.
And our union said if that's a person on that stage, they get an equity salary, which is six figures per person, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
No way. That's costumes and payment. And like, it would have to be at Radio City and sell out every day for Disney to fund it.
Wow. So yeah.
What they did is they sold it overseas, and then they put the rights out for community theaters to do, which I always thought was the best option because I felt so proud to belong to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you send that show out to communities, and that's going to be the same feeling for those communities because people are going to come in, there's going to be leads, and then there's going to be people a part of the choir. It takes a whole community to put that thing on because it's so massive. And I just thought, what a beautiful gift to every community who has the guts to do this show. You're going to remember those. And you're going to remember those shows. You're going to remember that time. And it's going to be so fantastic for the people who get to do it. And it's a better gift in the world to belong to the communities instead of being stuck in New York only. That's
true. Opinion. Yeah. Well, I know it. They did a run out in L.A. before it came over here too.
In San Diego, yes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Right.
Yeah.
Further down. I had considered going because that's how much I love Hunchback that I was like I have to see it. And then when they announced Paper Mill, I was like, well, this is a better idea.
You changed it considerably from Paper Mill. There were a few numbers that remained true, but it had a 3/4 of the show was overhauled.
Wow.
By the time we got to Paper Mill.
That's so crazy. It's really interesting to see all the different like versions of things that come about before they, you know, their final like production or whatever.
You try everything.
Yeah. The biggest, one of the biggest things for me, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but the original Broadway cast recording of Phantom, the lyrics are different for several songs. And like growing up listening to that and then seeing it again as an adult and like, I was like, why? Why are the words changed? I don't understand. Yeah,
there's small changes. There's small changes. What happened was they did it in London and they put it up so fast and furious because the anticipation for the show was great. And they had pressure to put it on very quickly. When they got to the US, they decided to implement some changes that they had found might work better. Or there were cast members that didn't like the way they were and they wanted to change some things. They took a Raoul part out in the trio in the mausoleum. They took that part out. They changed a few lyrics to be more American, I guess. Okay. There were some lyrics in there that were very English and they thought maybe were only understood by English poets and in English people because it was for them. So they decided to change some of the words to make it so we would understand it, I guess. It's like it's a different language, right?
Yeah, I know. It's funny that I'm sure people would have figured it out. You had a little series of like ukulele videos backstage at
Phantom. Allie, yeah.
Yeah, how did that come about? Like,
I did. Well, I play a lot of instruments, right? And I was always trying to find fun things for content and fun things to do because we do the same thing every day.
Yeah.
My quest is to find fun ways to live around that. And I'd walked into Guitar Center across the street one day and I was like, I don't play the ukulele. I'm getting one of these. And I went home with it. And then I started incorporating it into things I did on the shows and I recorded with it. And then I asked Allie, I said, do you want to do little 1 minute songs on Instagram with it? Cause she's really into social media. She's very good at it and likes to do it. And she was all for it. So what I do is I would take the songs and she'd come up with something maybe we should sing the next week and I'd go home and make a 1 minute arrangement of it and I'd send her a recording and then we would meet right before half hour on Saturday and we'd just bang it out and it would do it. And I mean, sometimes we'd take 20 takes to do it because one of us did something really dumb and I would always take the one that was slightly less perfect because it just seemed more fun. And that became the thing. We both loved it. And we had a lot of people who really enjoyed it. They watched it and they would comment and ask for more and make suggestions. And we just started doing it. Had a good time. The cast loved it. Phantom Marketing stole it, copied it. And they didn't steal it. They were inspired by it. That's what I was saying. Because that's the thing is I don't like, oh, it's my idea. Don't do it. I want to inspire people to play along and do stuff. I even said, if anybody has a song, send it over. A couple of people did, but they didn't really have the guts. And then Phantom asked Rodney to do his own. And they were like, so they took it. And I was like, well, then it must be a good idea. That's cool.
Well, so you said like, we do the same thing over and over. Do you ever get like tired? Like, does it feel redundant or do you always figure out?
No, not redundant. It's never not Broadway. That's the nice thing. And we do the same thing over and over, but we don't treat it that way. Every day is a new challenge. Every day is a new, something new to find, something to improve upon. And we just take it that way. You know, kids watch the same TV shows over and over and over.
Oh my gosh, I know.
But that's how they learn. It's a development process. So there is a lot of things to be learned in repetition.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I feel like it's got to be hard though for some like ushers and stuff to like have to, if you're not a fan and you're just like, it's just a job to hear the same thing over and over and over. Like, I don't know if I would get tired of something like Phantom because I love Phantom, but I can imagine shows that like maybe you're not that into that you have to just like sit through.
Yeah. I think that they learn to tune in and out. They, they get really into the understudies cause it's a change.
Right.
Start rooting for or against or however they.
Yeah, I never understand people that get angry when like the leads are out, because I'm like, especially like repeat viewers, people who have seen the show like a million times, like, why do you need to see the same exact performance that you saw yesterday or whatever?
All right, you spend a lot of money and a lot of effort. I remember being growing, I remember being young. I remember growing up in Northern California, and I wanted to see Phantom more than anything in the world. And I knew who the characters were, and I wanted to see them because they're who I studied.
Right.
And I'm really nervous that there would be an understudy on, not knowing that the understudy would be great or not. It's just, it's the unknown. I knew Davis Gaines, and I knew who was the girl? Was it? Oh, Lisa Vroman. And I knew they were going to knock it out of the park, and I wanted to see them do it. And then when I got there, they were on, and I was so relieved. And just the idea of them not being there was, it was hard. But for people like yourself who've seen it several times and have experienced it many times, a variance is probably exciting. But yeah, for somebody from Northern California or from the Midwest who's spent 5 years saving to get there to see what they wanted to see, and then it's not that. That's,
yeah.
That's,
yeah, I mean, that I can get. I don't know. I like seeing what other people can do, I guess.
Totally. It's also nice when people are celebrating the work that person, that the leads that we have are doing. That's a great thing. If they've correctly cast it and the person delivers and people fall in love with it, that's what we want.
Do you have like favorite Christines or Phantoms? Like, do you have personal, or are you going to be diplomatic and be like, oh, everyone's wonderful?
Diplomatic, yeah. Not diplomatic. I definitely have, yes, I have Christines that I love to do the show with, just because we get along and we vibe and we have our own story. There's some Christines that are perfectionists and we do that show together, and they're, there's some Phantoms I love when they're on because it's great. I have my own personal favorites. Like, I'm a big Howard Magellan fan. I loved Howard. And I think that everybody that gets to do the show is pretty great. And it's fun to watch. There's some people I get along with more and I have a good time in life with. And then so I do like watching them when they're on, but just because of our personal relationships. Like, I loved Kaylee so much. Kaylee backstage is the greatest human. She's so fun.
Oh.
And when she was on, it's like, it's Kaylee! Yeah.
Do you ever forget which track you're doing? Like, on, like, while you're, you know, in the show?
I don't, but there has been one or two moments where I was previously Raoul and then I'm Phantom and I'm really concentrating on, okay, it's these words, not this word.
I can imagine like wanting to like do this, like sing the whole song. I feel like that's why I could never be an actor, because I would just want to sing the whole thing.
Oh man. You know, the melodies, a lot of the melodies cross over and they, everybody kind of shares the motives. And when I'm Phantom, I still, after 12 years, do not trust going out during Don Juan with that black cape on. I still do not trust going out without going over the lyrics just so that I have the right words, because there are four other times in the show where you could just start singing those lyrics. Mm-hmm. And what am I doing? And it's like, this doesn't go with the story at all.
Yeah.
So I still have to go over it and just kind of ground and be there.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen in Newsies, actually, I saw one of the guys like was on his, like he was understudying and he missed a line, and I saw his face as he realized he was doing the wrong, because like I'd seen the show. So I knew it. I was like, oh, I'm so excited to see this guy as this character. And he flubbed, and like his face just like his eyes got really wide for a second before like somebody else recovered him. It was wasn't totally noticeable if you didn't know, but since I did, I was like, oh no.
it was hard to watch. So cool, right? You feel like a part of the show now, right? You know, yeah.
It was like right before intermission, I think. So like as soon as intermission hit, I like tweeted at him. I was like, you're doing so good. I'm so excited for you.
Oh, that's nice. Good.
You got to be supportive of your faves. Come on. So I promised to let you go. So do you want to tell my audience like where they can find you, where they can follow you, what you've got going on?
What I've got going on? Thanks. I have Jeremy Stoll at YouTube. I've been doing just random covers of things this week where we did Oklahoma, but we did it Dixie Chick style. So there's a fiddle and a guitar and jamming piano. It's fun. YouTube channel, Instagram, Jeremy Stoll. I have, if you want to see where I'm playing in 2 years, play again, I have jeremystoll.com. Otherwise, I guess that's it. Just if you find your way over, throw a comment down and say hi. That'd be awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. I would love to do it again when like you have things to promote, when things open back up. When
things open back up. Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Let's awesome. So thank you. I'm going to let you go.
Me again. I just want to once again thank you so much, Jeremy Stoll, for joining me for this episode. And thank you guys for joining me for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Please go give Jeremy a follow if you're not already. He's on Instagram and Twitter as Jeremy Stoll, jeremystoll.com, all that fun stuff. And, you know, if you want to comment and be like, hey, I heard you on Stephanie's podcast, that would be cool for me. And maybe it would make other people come listen too. So, you know, help me out, help him out, help us out, help everybody out. It's all good. If you liked this, please make sure that you are subscribed. And I would really love it if you would just go over to Apple Podcasts real quick and leave a quick rating and review and say like, oh my God, this is the best podcast I've ever heard. That would be wonderful. 5 stars. But if it's not, you can be honest too. It's okay. I like feedback. It's fine. I don't have a whole lot of other stuff to tell you about. Like, I feel like I could, but we're still in the same boat here. We're still not going out into the world. My favorite bar off the wagon down in the village opened this weekend for takeout stuff. That feels like a sign of things getting back to normal a little bit, even though it's literally like you can walk up and take some stuff and get out. And I don't think that you're allowed to drink outside, but I thought that was a thing. Like, I thought that the government is allowing that. I don't know. I obviously haven't been down there, so I can't tell you. But I don't know. I feel like going down to the village from where I'm at in Astoria feels a little futile to just be like, hi, I'll have a can of beer to drink back at my apartment. But I don't know. Hopefully the people in that area, though, are going and supporting that business that I love very much. And that would be wonderful. If you are in the area and you didn't know, check out their social media and see if they're open and head on down and have a drink or something. Or get some to-go wings. Yeah, the world is insane. And I don't want to get into it on my podcast because I just think it's upsetting. And there's so many other people covering it. Like, it's not a matter of me not caring. It's just like, this is not a like political or news platform for me, really. But I don't understand why there's still so much hate and all of this stuff happening, especially with everything else happening. Like, on top of everything else, we're dealing with lynching and riots and protests and that are not unwarranted. Like, they're not. Sorry, I just said I wasn't going to get into it, and I don't think that I should, but it's not because I don't care and I don't want to. I have plenty to say. I just don't feel like this music interview podcast platform is the right outlet for it. But I hear you, and I'm with you, and I support you, and that's all I can say about it, I guess. Yeah, that's what's going on. So next week, I'm toying with the idea of like a rewind and playing an old interview, and then actually like spending some time talking about stuff, and you know. But if one of my contacts comes through, obviously I'm going to push that back and get with someone to discuss things with. If you are a musician, creative, artist, singer, songwriter, whatever, and you want to come hang with me on my show, shoot me a message, hit me up. I'm not opposed to doing it the other, you know, instead of me reaching out to you, if you want to reach out to me and be like, hey, I want to come talk, I'm down. So let me know. And if you want to comment or request anything, Twitter at Side B Radio, Instagram at Side B Podcast, Facebook.com/SideBRadio. I'm all over the place too. So again, the rating and review thing would really help me out. Subscribe on your preferred platform. I'm on so many different platforms. It's not just Apple. It's Stitcher and Spotify and Google and iHeart and Anchor and everywhere. So you can listen to me all over the place. And that would be awesome. So I will talk to you guys next week. Please stay safe. Please don't do anything stupid. Just do what you gotta do. Have a great one.